Hey everybody, Shane Presley here at Rock Paper Podcast to tell you about my friends over at Music Record Shop. Find them at 4191A Manchester Avenue in the heart of the Grove, right between the demo and their ready room. Head over there this Friday, they have all new records coming in from Weezer and Need to Breathe and Andrew Bird and all kinds of other stuff. You can find all the releases on the website over at musicrecordshop.com. On Saturdays, they do a lot of live in-store performances. I believe the next one is April 9th. The By Gods from Nashville will be coming in, so check that out. And then also mark your calendar, April 16th is Record Store Day. Come out and get all kinds of great new vinyl and exclusive stuff. They also have a great selection of tapes and CDs, all kinds of local music over there. So please go down, check out Music Record Shop. Follow them on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, musicrecordshop.com.
Podcast is kind of like it's like a radio show that's not on the radio. It's on the internet. Does that make sense?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That's also like my mom. It makes it sound more confusing, doesn't it? It sounds like this.
This is the Illphonics.
And you are listening to
Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast. Rock Paper Podcast. Rock Paper Podcast, y'all.
Followed by a buddy's advice. You know the flirty girl type. So very zone, she was high as a kite. Kind of buzz, she was feeling alright. You know the party in life. So up and down, and she would give me a sight. If it was her and I would give her the night. Like the dress fits tight. No holes barred, she walked the edge of a knife. The fast lane that would come at a price. You know the dangerous life. Look to the fam that always came with the light. And the party favors giving out right. The more luxurious type. The best drink in any high you can name. Long trips and what money can bring. You know the fancier things. Her friends worry about her love of the game. And ponder what could be her reason for change. She found it hard to explain. All the elements that's mentioned within are only parts of the reason she did. Look on the way that she lived.
There's nowhere to run, baby. And there's no need to hide. You might think it's wrong, baby. But this is the life.
Small, major, crazy, or trife. Don't let it ruin your life. Look in the mirror, ask,
what do you like?
Are you an addict? Could you quit it tonight? Or too dependent to fight? Is it your nature to take more than you like? You find it hard to control it on sight. You're compulsive, alright. Ask yourself again,
what is life?
If not a thing, maybe then it's a life. So tell me, what is it like?
There's nowhere to run, baby, and there's no need to hide. You might think you're strong, baby, but this is the life. Some fun, baby. Let's go for a ride. Just imagine where I can take you, wherever you like.
Hey everybody, Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast, coming to you from St. Louis, Missouri.
Oh, yeah.
Hanging out with the guys of Ilphonics.
Hey, hey.
Welcome to the show, guys.
Hey, thanks for having us.
I like that. Yes. I like that you waved at the mic.
Yes, I just wave at the mic.
You felt it. You felt it in the bass.
Yeah. Well, this I figure we'll start. Everybody want to say hey and introduce yourselves.
Sure. What's up with it, Larry or Fallout Morris, MC, lead vocal, Ilphonics.
Hello, I'm Simon Shervitz, Spank. I play the bass in Ilphonics.
Hey, I'm Kevin. I play guitar in the Ilphonics. And
you don't have a nickname?
Killa K. Killa K is my nickname.
Yeah.
We don't use it as much anymore, like officially on the albums, yeah. But I still like it live and stuff. It's right. Like a lesser known band nickname.
It's an inside.
If you've seen us live, you've probably heard it.
You hear me say it, because I'm like, Killa K, give him a
Larry
solo.
Came up with it. So. That's a pretty good nickname.
Yeah. It's the topic that has come up a few episodes and. But you know, I've not ever really had a nickname. I was just always Big Shane. And I'm like, well, I mean, it is a nickname, yeah.
But it sounds like a boss name.
Yeah, you know? But it's
Big Shane.
You better get Big Shane his money.
Yeah,
right. Shane gonna come get you.
Your Big Shane gonna come and get you.
But yeah, I just so my buddy Blake, he when I had him on City of Parks episode, he. He came prepared with a full list of all kinds of new nicknames for me and rattled a bunch of them off, and none of them have stuck yet, but it's always fun.
Roll with Big Shane, man.
I would say beware of what sticks.
Right.
There's a grown man named Spanky. Yeah. You don't really get to choose.
Right. you guys have been, on my radar for a good while now. Sad to say, I have not made a show yet, but I've been out, seeing your guys' name all over town. I know you guys were a part of the Whiskey War Festival last summer with a bunch of my buddies over there, Manus Brothers. And
good folks.
Yeah, so they've all been on the show, and a lot of us have talked about that day. Brother Lee and the Leather Jackal has been on the show too, and all these guys. So anyway, your guys' name has come up, through conversation and things, and I'm just thrilled to be here today to actually get to meet you guys and
thank you.
We're thrilled that you're thrilled, man.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
We got a couple of members that aren't here.
Yeah.
CB on drums and Keith. I call him Keith Biscuits because we've been friends forever.
Yeah.
On Keith, so. Shout out to him.
Keith Moore, a.k.a. William Gray.
Yes.
You better say it.
Yep.
It's on my album.
It's even in the album credits.
By the way, we are currently looking at the brand new record here.
Yes.
Hot off the press. These look great, man. Gone with the Trends, the new full-length album from Ilphonics. Going to be available April 1st.
April 1st. And it is not an April Fool's trick, because people have asked me, like, are we playing? I'm like, no, we're going to actually release this on
But
April.
If it was, will we tell you?
Right.
Good point.
That's the reason.
I was thinking, like, something, you know, like, you get the record, and it turns out it's just like,
psych!
Yeah.
It's a CDR.
Yeah.
Right. It's a blank CDR.
It's like a Vanilla Ice album or something. Yeah. Like, yeah.
But it just plays one track, like, gotcha, bitch!
Yeah.
That's just the one track you put it in. And
yeah.
You've been had.
Yeah. Thanks for your money.
Or that the one
track. Yeah, thanks for your money. You just spent $10 on a blank CD.
I will vouch that this is a real CD, real album. No fools joke.
Awesome.
I was given a couple of the tracks to listen to before coming over, cool. And I love it, guys. It was really cool. Oh, cool.
Thank you. Really? Which ones were they?
I was 96 to 99.
Okay.
Which and the I heard the single
What Do You Like?
What Do You Like is on the online. I've listened to that a few times through, and then Liquid Spaceships and Sweet Missouri were the three I've listened to. So I'll start with 96 to 99, which I really liked a lot. Like it felt real good to me. Like it reminded me. Kind of reminiscent of like Ice Cube's Today Was a Good Day or
something.
Yeah. The kind of that feel like a storytelling kind of thing, and that's like everything you're talking about. I'm assuming you wrote most of the your verses at least.
I didn't come up with the idea, but I did write the verses for it.
Yeah.
Because the guys were kind of talking about, let's do a song and kind of talk about, you know.
Is that a throwback?
Yeah. Right? Like, kind of like R. Sir Duke. Or like old time rock and roll or something like that.
Yeah.
Or the bass player's tribute.
Right.
Yeah. Throw the Wooten in.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it was their idea. And they were like, can you come up with something? So I went home and I kind of wrote it out. When I brought it back and everybody listened to it, it worked, so
yeah.
And it translated even better after we recorded it, like mm-hmm. So.
But all that you mentioned in there, which I'm assuming is pretty much a true story. So I, but like everything about that, like I totally connected with as well. You know, we must be right around the same age because like I was, you know, I'm
all those names.
Yeah, those for sure. MCs. I mean, I'm 30, so like I'm related right there to a lot of that stuff. So it was
we're all in the same ballpark. Yeah.
But you say in there that your first album was Warren G with Regulate on repeat and stuff, and I mean that's a classic.
You know? My best friend, his name's Dorian. We're still best friends. Like his children are my godchildren, and Dorian had every like type of CD. And he was one of the first people, I don't know if I should put this on a podcast, but he was burning CDs and whatnot. Right. So we would go over there and sit there for hours.
Who would do something like
that? Yeah, we would sit over there for hours and like, it would take 3 days to burn an album because like we downloaded it the old fashioned way. But before I started buying CDs, he would have CDs that he didn't listen to. And I remember he had that Warren G and I loved Regulate. And I was like, man, that's my song. He said, you can have the album, and I mean, I took it home and just kept playing it over and over to the point my mother was like, if you play this song one more time, I'm gonna regulate you. So,
I was obsessed with that song too, man. It's
the sweet Michael McDonald.
Right. And then, of course, Nate Dogg, you know, on the hook, man. Yeah.
Definitely.
His voice, man, it's like one of my favorites to sing along with, you know, like I have a little, you know, a little deeper voice, and it was always fun to pretend to be Nate Dogg on those hooks and stuff, you know, like because he's just got such a great vocals.
If you made it in hip hop music, I feel like if you had Nate Dogg on your hook, you made it, like, because every hook I've ever heard Nate Dogg do, I've enjoyed. Right. You know,
sure.
He's really good. I mean, his albums, his solo stuff has been great too.
Yeah.
But he was one of those, he's a legend. Like, you know, rest in peace. He's somebody that I know that everybody in the band has respect for. Yeah.
Definitely. Yeah. But yeah, then what's, you know, in that your talk about, you know, Nas and Cash Money and Jay-Z and Tupac dying and like, it just like, and you refer to it as the last golden era of hip hop or something along those lines, right?
Well, yeah, for me, that was my last golden era. I mean, don't get me wrong, because I mean, Eminem came out soon thereafter.
Yeah, like 99.
That was great albums. The Blueprint came later.
I guess 97 was the Slim Shady LP, right?
Or, yeah, I think then. But
something
when,
like that.
Sounds about right.
Yeah. But the one I the Marshall Mathers, yeah, that's the one I feel like he really.
Yeah.
But I mean, I feel like it's not the, I feel like, how can I word it? I don't want it to be one of them things where people like, I'm saying our era is better than your era. But that was a very special time in hip hop. A lot of people agreed 97.
It's our formative years as well. It's like people. You know, it's when we became people and that's what was around.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah.
Sure. So, yeah, I mean.
And plus, you know, we're not making hip hop in 96 to 99. We're doing it now. So it's not really our era.
Yeah.
It's just like.
Well, I mean, I mean,
the era we draw.
Go ahead, Kevin.
I would say that me growing up in a like completely different situation around that time, 7th, 8th grade and stuff, like those are still all the names that I was familiar with and that I liked as well. Like, so it's just no matter where you come from in St. Louis or wherever, like these are indisputably some of the best rap artists ever. Yeah. You know.
And
that
I mean,
that are mentioned in the song.
This is before the record industry changed too. You must remember that. Like I feel like
was the last golden era of really releasing music in general. Because in the late 90s is when the fucking boy bands got all fucking
yeah.
And that was the beginning of the end.
And then we went into online music more heavily. You know, so if you listen, as you've listened to the album, because Liquid Spaceships, I'm kind of talking about that. Music was an experience for me. Going to get a CD after I got out of school that I had been waiting for was amazing. Like getting the album, looking at the packaging, reading who produced it, sitting down, listening to it, wanting to play it again, it was an experience. It was something you had to be interactive about. Like I knew I was going to Streetside. I was going to Vintage Vinyl, and we make reference to that on the album because that's such a pivotal place for us. And now I'm going to get this album, and I'm going to listen to it. And now I feel like I can lay in my bed, be like, oh, the new Kendrick Lamar is out. Click. Download.
Yeah, right.
It's there, you know.
So, yeah. But
no
yeah.
effort required.
Yeah.
I also liked, there was a line, I'm not quoting, but I something along the lines that you say that there was no problem that music couldn't solve or something along those lines.
Oh yeah.
And I mean that like really struck me. Like that's something, you know, that's for me, music is totally a release, you know. It's like and you're just like you're saying going to the record shop and everything else, like you're going, it was a full experience to put on a new album and just kind of escape, you know, for an hour or whatever it is, maybe it wasn't even an escape. Sometimes it was an enhancer. Sometimes you put on your favorite party album and you get dancing and moving and stuff. And it was it's always fun to see where music take you on that journey and stuff. So
yeah,
music is medicine.
Yeah, man, definitely.
It definitely is, and I mean, it's one of those things that even today I get exposed to new music being in a band, you know, with the guys and whatnot. And some of the songs I've been exposed to by them, like, you know, I liked certain artists, but like I've become a very hardcore Pat Metheny fan. But that's because I'm driving with Spank, and Spank's playing that stuff, and so I'm not digging into it and whatnot. And when I'm running to certain songs he has that I like to run to, and certain things
you
that I
probably
like,
know him better than I do,
you know. But that's what I'm saying, though. But once you find what you like, it does something to you, you know. And you try to explain it to other folks. Some people get it, others don't. But it's your connection you have. It's a relationship, you know. So
yeah, man. So, well, another Liquid Spaceships mentioned, and I also listened to that one. And I really dig it. That's starts with all the bass, right?
Yeah, it's the bass exercise come to life.
Yeah, no, that sounds great though. I love and the fact that too, the fact that it was featured so much. Like sometimes bass can kind of duck in the back, and not be as, right up front. But
not always the most prominent.
Yeah, but right, that was cool to hear like that bass groove going through the whole track for the most part, and it was. It sounded good, man.
Right on, man.
You can thank Larry for that. Yeah. Larry the whole time was adamant. He's like, that bass has got to be prominent. It's got to be the most featured thing. And I was like, yeah.
Spank's more laid back, but he'll have nuggets, and I'll be listening to him. And I'm like, Spank, that's so dope. And Liquid Spaceships, we've had that song for a couple of years now. But it's one of those things with the band. We're very meticulous about what we put out. Like, we've gotten really good at scrutinizing our own music before we give it to you all. Mm-hmm. And the original song that was written to it, it didn't work. I didn't feel it worked. And
that was a long time ago.
Yeah. I don't even remember.
Yeah.
It was like 2008.
Yeah. Well,
it's a bass exercise coming. Like, it was just something I was doing.
But like, what he was doing was sick.
Practice technique.
Yeah, it was great. I'm like, I don't care if it is a practice song. We have to do that. And so eventually, when I knew I had the lyrics right, then it came back to life. When they feel it, when everybody's in the room, like, yeah, you got it, So, yeah, it's a great song.
I mentioned it before, but it's just, I think it's a great line. But I listened to a lot of Howard Stern, and he had, drummer for the Eagles.
Don Henley.
Yeah, there it is. Man, I hate when I get to telling a story and then I just totally forget a name. But anyway, Don Henley was in studio talking about his new stuff, and he was talking about some Eagles records and things. But he said they knew that they had a hit on their hands when they would bring girls down to the studio and they would just start dancing right away. And he's like playing like Dirty Laundry or something like that, and these girls start dancing and grooving on the beat, and it's just like. And, that, so just like you're saying, you guys are in the studio and that song comes to life and you just immediately start bobbing your head, dancing and having fun with it. And it's crazy how, so instantly you can hear it and this is it. And
yeah, I would say, most, if not all of our songs before they ever get considered for recording has a moment where it just all gels.
Yeah.
And you're just like, okay, we're going to continue with this.
Right.
I remember when Liquid Spaceships, I knew it was something good because I remember Chaz brought Tony to a practice and we were practicing a song. And he, he likes our music, but he's floating around and whatnot. And I'm rapping the verses and he like, he over in the side. Like, that's where it's at. I'm like, well, okay. Yeah. We got something there,
Yeah. And then the other one I was listening to was Sweet Missouri, and this one was like quite a bit heavier, like a lot more rock guitar to it and orchestration to it. So, is that something?
That's another old song.
Yeah,
that's like again from like 2008 originally, and like it also had other forms. So like Liquid Spaceships, it had. Other lyrics.
Mm-hmm.
Also, the title to be official about it is "Sweet Misery."
Yeah.
But then in parentheses, it's the what do you call that? The phonetic spelling of Missouri. So it's a play on words and stuff. So how miserable it is to live in Missouri sometimes,
Yeah.
But. That song, basically, I think what completed it was having Christine Young on it, which, if anybody doesn't know, she's one of St. Louis's best, musical exports of, any era,
Yeah.
She's an incredibly talented vocalist and very, the epitome of, what an artist is, and, So she asked us to do a show a couple years back, and we've been friends ever since. And we asked her if she would be interested in collaborating, and she was like, "Yeah." And we found this song, which kind of gelled with what she kind of does on her own too. Which if you don't know Christine Young's stuff, definitely check out her.
Yeah,
she brought a different flavor to her for sure.
Yeah, and I was, her performance is amazing, but what, me as a recording engineer as well got me, like, really giddy. I was already giddy, but knowing that Tony Visconti actually recorded her performance.
Yeah.
Who, are you familiar with
his work? I was told that he did some Bowie stuff and things. I'm not too
he's basically responsible for, starting Bowie's whole career, he saw him and they met in London, I think, and also Mark Bolan from T-Rex. Mm-hmm. So those are two major. I mean,
yeah.
Tony Visconti, he's a rock icon, like hero.
Yeah, that's
the fact that he helped create a song on Gone with the Trends is like, holy shit.
Not only that, we had a show at the Kranzberg. It was kind of like a little bit of a celebration. We've been together 10 years now. And Christine Young actually came. She brought a guest with her. And that guest was him.
Whoa.
And he sat there through the two-hour set. You saw him out in the crowd moving. And after he got through, he spoke with us. He was like, "You guys surprised me. You guys are really good, And, we're like, "Yeah, we're going to give you an album." He said, "Oh, no. You're good. When you comes out, I'm going to buy it."
Yeah.
We're like, that's an honor.
Yeah. Well, that's awesome. Who's the vocals on 96 to 99? Who's that female vocal on there?
Lena Charlie.
Yeah.
Or we know her as Tiffany, but, stage. Yeah. Right? Lena Charlie. Yeah. She's been a lead. She kind of lead background singer for us for years. She's always been sweet and down to come and, because we're one of those groups that we'd be like, "We want horns on this," or "We want percussion here," And because of that, when we started working on this album, if you listen to our previous albums, it's a lot of me rapping and, the instruments. With the last album we did, our self-titled, we started to move more into having band members sing, because we have some talented vocalists within our group. But when I started writing lyrics, I knew I wanted to have that dynamic on certain songs.
Sure.
Because it kind of embodies where we're at musically, because we're very big on having catchy hooks and songs that are very relatable to people, you know? And she just... she can really sing, and it just really fit. We had good chemistry, so it worked out really good.
Yeah, I like, also part of that was you were talking about relating and stuff to that, and the chorus that she sings, you better be home when the lights come on, or something, all this stuff. Like, it was just a lot of stuff I can relate to. Hearing these things from my parents
early
or whatever.
Cartoons on the Saturday morning.
Yeah. But no, it was she was great, and then again, this will be ready for purchase April 1st. You can currently go online if you listen to this now and pre-order a copy through iTunes, Bandcamp, Amazon, and all the other various places.
And if you go on Facebook, our name is Illphonic Sound, all one word. We have links to everything, so please go there and pre-order your album.
Yeah.
Get it before everybody else. Right.
And it'll be available in digital and physical. And then, so the official release party then is at KDHX, the stage?
The stage,
yep.
Yeah.
At KDHX.
So you can come down that evening and... Mm-hmm. Pick up a copy there and then, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. We're going to rock an awesome set, and it's going to be a good time. And, just to be able to have a show at such, like, a I don't know. I feel like Grand Center is so prestigious. It's like...
Yeah.
There's definitely some nice stuff.
Sure, right. Yeah, yeah, right. For sure. Right in the shadows of Fox. That's and
the Fabulous Fox.
Yeah. Yeah.
Fabulous.
That's right.
Yeah.
Let's be precise.
Yeah.
The next step for us is the playoff at the Fox, you know?
Sure.
That would be great.
But yeah, the stage is a cool little intimate spot for a show. And
And then it's just an honor to be playing at KDHX. Yeah. I mean, they've been big supporters of us since day one. And I can't emphasize enough to people who are listening to this that are in St. Louis how we need to support places like that, because they keep us local musicians. They are the stepping stones for us, you know. They expose us to so many of the people that live in the city of St. Louis. So, you know, we as a music scene, we have to, and just citizens of St. Louis, we need to support places like KDHX. And no, they didn't ask me to do it. I'm just saying it because it's so many artists that I hear that are doing great things, from Pokey LaFarge on down, who have been played through KDHX, you know, so.
For sure.
Well, yeah, it allows us a cultural identity. And, like, if we don't have that outlet, then our cultural identity is at risk of being homogenized with, like, just whatever other culture.
Yeah,
American culture. I just got really deep there.
What's the name of Clear Channel? We all be Clear Channels.
Yeah. And there's no knocking Clear Channel. It serves its purpose.
I'll knock Clear Channel.
Let's go back a little bit, because I don't know a lot about you guys. You said you guys have been together going on 10 years now, right? You celebrate your 10 years together?
Yeah.
Officially, like, towards May or June.
Yeah.
Around that time, because that's when we started recording Fallout and Friends.
We go back to when we started a project called Fallout and Friends, which was a recording project. That's the first time that the five of us were ever in the same.
I didn't even meet you in the recording of that. Like, it wasn't until after everything was done that we actually met.
Yeah, that's true. I did meet Chaz, though.
Yeah.
I played bass
with
Chaz. Yeah. But yeah, 2006 is when, the first inklings, the beginnings of Illphonics.
Yeah.
Yeah. How did the five of you come together for that project then?
Well, we're going to even go back further.
Yeah.
A lot of the music elements comes from high school, and correct me if I'm wrong, Spank. I knew Spank and Chaz, they kind of grew up in the same neighborhood. They've known each other for a while, but they played in jazz band at U City.
Yeah.
And so, for me, I knew Keith, the keyboardist, William Gray, since the sixth grade. But we got really tight sophomore year. And what would happen at U City High School is that there would be cyphers. And Keith would play the keyboards there. I would beat on the table, and I got really known for rapping. CB and I, we would have family functions, and we would be there with each other. But we found out later on at a show that we shared first cousins, but that's a whole nother story.
Right.
But Chaz would come down to the ciphers, and he always was like, "You're really good," and show love outside of the fact of family's, you know, functions. And Spank, I would see Spank come down there, and he would show love too, you know, because Spank is really into hip hop. Well, we get to Webster University. I'm there for my audio degree, and I meet Kevin my freshman year. And Kevin, when I met him, was in the dorms. I remember it because who introduced me was a friend of ours named X-Man or Terrell. Kevin was getting ready to go study abroad. So he was like, "When I get back, man, I'm going to reach out to you so we can work on some stuff together." I was like, "Cool." He went on about his business, so on and so forth. Well, he gets back, and I was already working with Keith on various projects. When we were in high school, we had a rap group called The Mastermind. And he would do tracks and all that, and we always did that. And I was a battle MC at the time, so I would go out on the local scene and battle a lot of rappers. There's a few local battle rappers that have done well that I actually know. And I was working on Keith's project. Kevin was like, "Work with me on this project," but we were both audio majors, so we were pretty much going through the program at about the same rate. Matter of fact, all my major classes, we pretty much had together. So we had access to the studio, and we had a friend that I was really cool with named Tom. And Tom was an engineer as well. And Kevin was recording, so we're using the studio. We're going to use the studio for that, and I'm coming out to West County to record with him. Keith has his stuff. And then all of a sudden, it just kind of merged together. Tom was like, you know, we should do this. And I'm like, well, Kevin and I are already working on something. And Keith and I are already working on something. So let's just put the projects together. And we made some lineup changes. Our initial drummer didn't work out. Mm-hmm. And so we needed a drummer. Because I remember having that conversation with Kevin. If you remember, we were at the Delmore Lounge. And you were like, I'm not feeling you got to hold the pocket.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I was like, I know somebody. And so I got on the phone and I called.
I remember you calling me. Yeah, I remember it very specifically. You're like, yeah, man, these drums, they're just not working out. But I guess, didn't you know it was your cousin yet? No.
No, me at the time, Chaz and I didn't know that we were related through our first cousins like that. Yeah. But we had always known each other because my family growing up, it was another family in the neighborhood. They grew up in the Central West End, and they were all close, so they all called each other family. And Chaz's father was dating like an auntie to me. So she would have big gatherings, and we would see each other. Sweetie, as you already know, Spank. And so, I called Chaz and I was kind of like, hey, you want to drum with us? He was like, I'd be down. Because when he would come up to Webster to see Spank, he would always ask for me. And one day they actually found me and I went to go see him. And then I kind of spoke to Spank. I was like, hey, Spank, would you be down to do it? Spank was like, I'm down to do it, but I want CB as the drummer. I said, it works out perfectly.
Yeah.
And so they came in and they kind of added some stuff to Fallout and Friends. But as time went along, that wasn't really us. That was kind of me with Keith and Kevin. And people were like, if we gonna continue to do this, this needs to be more of an us thing. And that's when you saw Fallout and Friends kind of diminish. And we started to get a reputation at Webster University because my buddy Benny was doing First Fridays. And it was a open mic thing. And it was really cool. And we would do 15-minute sets and people would show up and they really liked our sets. And it turned into us open for Lupe Fiasco. Oh, and then eventually opening for the Roots. But it was in that period of time we got together in the clubhouse at Webster University, and we decided upon the name Ilphonics. And it was from that you start to get the lineage from that we're at now.
Very cool, man.
I think I explained it the most thorough tonight.
Yeah, that sounded good. So why Ilphonics?
Spank, you can explain that.
Sounded good.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I think it kind of harkened back to us being audio majors because we wanted phonics to be in it because that means sound. Yeah. And we tried out a whole bunch of other possible things. Some of them were kind of cheesy, like street phonics or something. One I came up with was called hydrophonics.
Which it turns out, like 13 other bands that come up with.
Well, there's at least 3 other bands that have phonics or phonic in their name.
Yeah, there's an actual Ilphonic.
Yeah, there's also the Delphonics going back to like the 70s or whenever that was.
Yeah,
and there's a like indie group called Stereophonics.
Yeah,
there's a bunch of other bands we've met. We've met certain bands
with
phonics and played with. It's I don't know. I guess a lot of bands were on the same kind of tip at the same time.
I mean, it's I think it's so hard to even come up with a name anymore, you know? Like, the fact that there's, like, so many, especially if you're, like, looking for one word.
Mm-hmm.
So many, like, I mean, that's why you see a lot of band names are, like, 5 words long now and stuff. They, you know, especially, like, in the rock scene and stuff. Like, but, you know, all these, you know, great one word names are all taken and stuff, you know, so it's hard to come up with something original to it.
But I think what makes our name special, outside of just the fact that we thought it was cool, Spank was best friends with a guy I was in the scouts with when I was younger. His name's Austin. Austin was in New York around that time for design, and Spank asked him to come up with a logo for us and I, the logo that we use now, and he nailed it. Like, yeah. I think people now see that logo and they yeah, connect.
It's a great logo.
Yeah, so that I think that helped us with trying to keep that name and make it our own.
Sure. Well, do people ever think you guys are from Illinois then?
I've had that question. Yeah.
Especially like if we play at Pops or something.
Right.
Yeah. Y'all from the ill side?
Well, yeah. I mean, the name, when we first walked away from that session of figuring out the name, I was like, yeah, it's cool, but I was still like maybe 15% not sure about it. But then this is me personally, the album "Licensed to Ill" by Beastie Boys is like the first ever album that I like got into. So like,
such a great record.
When I realized that we had that connection with
Illmatic
Beastie Boys,
well,
but I mean, Beastie Boys is older.
It is older,
but just utilizing that word, you know, just to mean something that's, you know, really good. You know?
No, I agree. I think it works, man.
Not Illinois.
Yeah, right.
Elf Half-Life.
Oh, that's a great album, too. That's probably my favorite Roots album.
It's their first one, right?
Yeah. So who gets, Fallout was saying here, you know, you mentioned a lot of your influences in that song and your lyrics there, but who gets you guys playing bass and guitar and stuff?
I started out playing the bass, having heard Les Claypool, and I was just like, that's fucking cool.
Yeah.
I want to play the bass. And then somehow along the line, I kind of, like, I still love Les Claypool, but I don't play anything like Les Claypool. Right. So I guess I tried to develop my own style of it, but it all stems from, matter of fact, it was some girl in middle school who was in the Primus. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to play the bass.
Now we know.
Simon's working on, my name is Mud.
What about you, Kevin?
I would have to say, and this is, you know, 20 years later, it seems kind of cheesy, but Slash.
Yeah.
Just watching Slash, like, Slashes ascend from a whale's back, like, just out of the ocean cool and do a like, solo. Like,
yeah, he's super cool.
He's, like, the coolest. Like, I don't know.
He just made it look, he made it look so cool. It was like, damn, I want to do that. And plus, he ripped it, you know.
Yeah.
But,
you guys remember not to cut you off, but you remember that video MTV Awards or whatever it was, Michael Jackson was playing, and then Slash jumps out there with
fuck this Slash cover.
Yeah, he jumps out, and then like he's just going and shredding, and they have to like actually like pull him off the stage because like he wouldn't leave, like he was supposed to.
I think I remember that.
Yeah, it was supposed to be like his, you know, little
30-second shred and get the fuck on somewhere.
And he just sitting there going, you know, and the security had to like, you know, get him off the stage so Michael could continue on with his part of the show. And
that's why Slash is awesome.
I got to meet him a little, you know, just quickly in passing kind of thing. He performed at the pageant with Miles Kennedy and the Conspirators, and he was cool enough to hang backstage behind the venue and sign CDs and whatever and stuff.
Cool.
And,
he seems like a chill guy.
Yeah. For me, that was pretty awesome because, like, I mean, granted, it was a quick, you know, he signed Slash and they moved along the line, you know. Right. And,
Slash and
but
shit.
Just the, you know, just the thing. Just the, you know, as a fan, to be thinking, like, you know, this is Slash of Guns N' Roses, who's, like, one of the, you know, they were huge and, like, the fact that he's currently standing right in front of me right now. And, like, you know, it was a pretty awesome moment.
For sure.
But, and I also, some of my buddies, my other connection with Slash is some of my buddies got to open for him at somewhere down. It was like Springfield. I forget the name of the arena, but he played this arena again with Miles Kennedy, and my friends got to won a contest and got to open up the show for Slash, and and it was just an awesome night just to be there. And then he's like Slash is up there flicking out picks at the end of the night and stuff, and like one like hits me in the chest and like falls on the ground. I stomp on it and I pick it up, and before anybody else grabbed it, and I end up giving it to my buddy Cortland, who got to open that show with X714. Nice. And cool. I was like, and again, he's the reason he plays guitar is because of Slash. I was like, I know this pick's going to mean a lot more to him than,
yeah,
you know. So he's you know, he was tickled to have a Slash pick, you know, in his collection. Oh, yeah. And stuff. But
I don't even play guitar and I would like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's, you know, he just has a cool attitude, like just seems like real rock and roll guy. And
yeah,
I also like his melodicism and his playing, which still to this day I would say that I am influenced by. So,
mm-hmm. And GNR is back, man. They're doing some shows, run of shows
oh
together.
Oh my god!
What's his name? Axl Rose,
yeah. Axl and Slash together
for now.
For the first,
yeah. Time. Let's see for how now. Long that lasts.
I think they have like 3 dates confirmed or something. Uh-huh. Like that. Like
Lufest pulled that. Yeah. I would love that.
I don't know how I feel about all that.
Yeah, I mean, I think it'd be interesting. I think
I would go see it. Forget that.
Yeah. I've seen Axl Rose do like an acoustic set once from like a couple years ago. Right. It was like the worst thing in life. Yeah. Like it was so bad. He played like the bridge benefit or something to Neil Young.
You know they're not coming here anyway.
Yeah.
Oh well, yeah, they have a history because of Williams Riverport, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're bad.
Oh well.
I
couldn't afford the ticket anyway.
Miles, speaking to him though, man, that guy, like, they do a lot of GNR songs when they play live, and Miles is like just a credible vocalist, and he sings probably, I'm sure he sings those songs a lot better than Axl does them right now anyway.
Probably. He's doing all this Scott Weiland stuff too, right?
Yeah, they do some, they do a little bit of that, I believe.
Velvet Revolve.
Yeah.
Another R.I.P. right there.
Yeah, that was a bummer. It's, there's a...
That's alright. It's, you know.
It's a fitting, like...
It wasn't that unexpected.
Yeah.
The way to go out. Like, if you're a fucking junkie rock star, like, you should fucking overdose. And you should, like, go about it in a snappy fashion.
In a timely manner.
And, like,
okay, Spank.
So you guys, this is your fifth record, right?
Yeah.
It's hard to count at this point.
Yeah?
It's 5.
Yeah.
3 LPs,
is that counting
the
live
EPs.
Record? Because we have an unplugged album.
We do have an unplugged. We have...
No, we got Fallout and Friends walking to Mason Dixon on it.
It doesn't really count.
It's not really us, no.
Mm, it's pre. It's another... We had another live album, too, we put out. It's maybe... Let's more...
It's more... It was like more of a EP. That one doesn't stand
so
up.
So we have 5 studio projects.
Yeah.
And we can leave it at...
4... albums plus 2 EPs.
Okay.
I think it's
and then
4 albums.
Including our new one. 4, the Unplugged.
Oh,
self-titled,
Unplugged. Okay.
Gone with the Trends and Sound.
Yeah.
And then Reality Check and Illusion are the 2 EPs.
So. And all those are all still available?
For the most part, yes.
Yeah. On Illphonics.net or where?
iTunes,
I think.
Yeah, iTunes and Spotify.
Yeah. So I was listening to some through Spotify, listening to some of the older stuff too, and yeah, I mean it's all good. There was one something about shits in the title. What's
Shit happens.
Yeah. But I don't know. In that particular one, I kind of got like a Del the Funky Homo Sapien vibe to it.
It's funny that you say that because he's one of my 5 favorite MCs of all time.
Yeah, Del's the man.
I've heard that numerous times about you. So
Del definitely is an influence. He's one of the I don't think he's... I don't know how to word it. I think people sleep on him. I mean, he's popular because Hieroglyphics is considered a legendary crew, you know?
And Gorillaz as well.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
But I feel like from an MCing standpoint, Deltron 3030 is probably the greatest concept album ever from a rapper. In my that's debatable, but it's one of
even to yourself.
To myself, Deltron 3030 is amazing.
Yeah,
like it really is. Like his lyricism is on a whole nother level. You know.
Yeah. But yeah, you mentioned Gorillaz, and that's what I was gonna say. It's kind of and Shit Happens kind of reminded me of like a little Gorillaz vibe, especially since well, I mean, just the what they have in Dell's vocals on it, like you know that that kind of in that sense, like having Dell to a little bit of a rock guitar and stuff like that,
a little jazzy feel behind it as well.
So yeah, there was a kind of reminiscent of that.
Cool, man. I'm glad you liked that one.
I was digging it, man. And then like I said, and listening to the new stuff too is just I'm gonna have to go continue to do my homework and delve a little deeper and
you
do
can,
it.
You can dig as far as you want.
But I would like to hear the Fall on the Friends and stuff. I like you know, as a fan, I like to go back and I kind of like hear early stuff and demos or whatever and hear like how our things evolve. You know, follow it in timeline and stuff and kind of. You know, some people are kind of ashamed or you know, a little bit embarrassed or maybe or whatever it is of some early things. And it's like, but I like hearing some of that and then just know where you guys have evolved to and where where you've come to.
Maybe we have to do an album called The Vault or something like
that. Yeah, we've talked about that. Like, maybe just putting out, like, almost a B-sides album. Just songs that never made it onto an official release. And you would be able to hear it from day one to like maybe even have some demos like the first Hall of Mirrors. Like.
The first Hall of Mirrors, because I remember when you recorded that, you were kind of just in the studio just playing. I still have the instrumental. I love it, you know.
Right.
That's, well, Hall of Mirrors, that's a song from our debut album called Sound from 2009.
Yeah.
Which is one of, probably will always be one of my favorite Illphonic songs.
Yeah. Yeah. to check it out. So you guys have also recently signed a label deal, right? Mm-hmm. Got got some support from them now.
Yes.
So that's exciting stuff.
Yeah. Just to have that kind of like it's like a pat on the back. It's like good. It's like somebody finally said, "Good job, Illphonics." Yeah. Like
from. Let us assist you some more.
Yeah. Let us help you work harder.
Yeah. Exactly.
And we're like, cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
To do that.
Yeah, it's nice. I mean, you know, I think that's great. You know, just it's, sometimes it's nice to have somebody there that can help do some of the more business sense part, you know, or whatever. And you guys can just continue to focus on the music and things.
Well, it's a partnership.
Yeah. You know? But yeah.
We still do both.
Sure.
Like, but... Yeah, a lot of course, the label's going to pick up a lot of the bigger organizational things. Yeah.
Distribution but, and all that.
Yeah.
It's just nice having that little hand, you know, that little help.
If anything, another member of the team.
Right. You know,
for sure.
Because Alex Ellis from the Record Machine, he's been like a sixth member. Just
definitely.
He's on top of his shit. Like,
yeah.
He searched us, and when he came to us, it's funny because we've had people... talk to us about collaborating or working. He was the first person that I know I interacted with that knew us and knew our music. And I think for us, that's big, you know, for you to know our body of work. Sure. You know? So.
Yeah, he's been the one who I've emailed a couple of times and he's been right on top of it, man. He, you know, gets back to me right away and stuff. Yeah. I think you're in good hands there. He's definitely seems to have your guys' best interest at, you know, so.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, that's so you guys also have a couple of other dates. So the label's based in Kansas City, right?
Yes.
And you guys are going playing
middle of the map
up in Kansas City.
Yeah. We've been frequenting Kansas City for years.
Like a douche.
Yeah.
Don't do anything douchey anymore. Yeah. But no, we've been frequenting Kansas City for years.
Yeah.
Before we even signed, we would go up there and play. And I personally will honestly say I think they have been great fans. Yeah. So it's fun playing up there.
For sure.
It's a cool city.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good barbecue.
Solid music scene.
Solid support. Yeah, the barbecue.
world renowned.
The music scene is pretty.
I pretend that Kansas City is not like.
Oh, I'm not. I've never knocked their barbecue.
One of the most famous places to get that shit from. Yeah. Like,
but we've been to a lot of different places for barbecue though.
That's true.
We've been to Texas. We've been to Kansas City. We haven't been to the Carolinas yet.
I pretty much like it. I've been to the Carolinas.
Well, not as a band. We haven't been.
With that mustard sauce is different.
Yeah.
I have a you guys go to Sugar Fire yet?
Yeah, that's the best burger in St. Louis, in my opinion.
Burger, huh?
Yeah, so I'm going to make that argument tonight.
But there's a Sugar Fire across the parking lot from my work. And so I'm like, whenever the wind shifts and I'm downwind and smelling that smoke all day at work, man, it's rough, man. I don't want to go eat some barbecue. Mm-hmm. But I love
barbecue's
it.
That's a good reason to go to Kansas City a lot.
Yeah. Barbecue and fountains.
And
a solid music scene.
Yeah, their music scene is definitely solid. Yeah. They've always treated us well. Like,
Tech Nine, man.
Yeah,
he seems to run Kansas City, man. Like he's been representing Kansas City for a long time, and
he's the hometown hero.
Yeah, definitely.
But this middle of the map thing is pretty great. This festival, because last year was our first year playing it, and I mean I was there. I stayed the whole weekend and kind of had the whole experience. And you know, we've done Austin a few times for South by Southwest, and basically the vibe was pretty much the same in Kansas City, and I feel like this festival should keep growing, and it might end up being like the South by Southwest of Kansas City.
Yeah.
Or the Midwest.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Because, like, you know, I got out of a show at, like, 2:45 a.m., and, like, still tons of people in the streets having a good time. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it'd be cool. I know we have a lot of various things going on, but you know, I've said it on the show a bunch of times that I feel like St. Louis is just a bubbling under hotbed of music right now. Like if we had something like a South by Southwest or you know of that sense for what it's done to Austin and things like
Murmuration. Have you heard of that?
I don't think so.
This new, one of the offshoots, one of the guys who had a stake in Lufest splintered off.
He was the creator of Lufest.
Was he?
I think, but I could be wrong.
I know he was one of the main three people involved in Lufest last year. He quit or whatever, and now he's doing a festival called Murmuration, which is going to take place at the Cortex in
Central St. Louis, right? Yeah.
And it's going to take place on the campus of Cortex, and it's going to be, like, interactive media as well as music and art, but then also a science and technology bent.
Okay.
Or, you know, I'm pretty pumped about that. Like, yeah. I'm, like, tomorrow, like, yesterday, I needed to go look up how we can get on that festival. Yeah.
No, that's cool. And with St. Louis being a city that they're saying is great for startups and whatnot, it really makes sense. I mean, for me, I'm a Lufest supporter, don't get me wrong, but I feel like that's what should have been our thing, you know? I feel like Lufest over the past, because, I mean, I saw Outkast at Lufest, so I'm going to always have a positive, you know? Sure. But I think that festival should have highlighted more local acts. I mean, it's cool that they went out and got all these great big acts. I mean, I appreciate that, but there definitely should have been a running stage for local artists, you know?
Yeah.
Well, that was the other bit of news that came out, because then after news of Murmuration, then Lufest announced that it was going to be more local centric. Did you see that?
Well, Lufest, we're waiting for that email or that call. We would love to be there.
We will be there.
there.
Either way, actually, probably.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. And I've always said the same thing. I think. I think support the locals, man. Because like I say, it's cool to get Outkast. Obviously, you know, it's huge.
Because that was a phenomenal show.
Yeah. But, I mean, we have some serious, serious players in town. And we could definitely put together our own Lufest lineup full of locals and stuff. I mean, Definitely. So, yeah,
and it's funny to say this, and I mean, because you know, I'm so St. Louis in that aspect. I think Kansas City has figured that out.
Yeah,
you know, I think they're getting that over there, and you can feel it when you're there. Like, they are really about.
Yeah, they don't seem as dependent on national acts.
Yeah.
Yet somehow they still go to Kansas City over St. Louis.
Yeah.
Whenever I'm there, I'm like, damn, they're going to be in Kansas City, not St. Louis.
Yeah.
So, if Kansas City folks have never heard St. Louis, give you props. We just gave you props right now. We're not going to go to baseball. And, we'll keep it there.
Yeah. Who are some, you guys have some locals you enjoy watching or...
Yeah, St. Louis?
Yeah, I've been harping on the River Kittens recently.
They're
great.
I've always been a So Many Dynamos fan. They've been great.
Dynamos. I really like Cree Rider, family band.
Cree's been on the show. He's a buddy. Working on getting River Kittens.
The Provails. I like them.
Yeah, the Provails are good. There's so many bands that have kind of like come and went, and you know, right now there's a lot of great stuff. Pat Sajak Assassins, like Sinuso Pro and all that.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Supporting Blank Generation. They're another live hip hop band. They're doing their thing, making their way. So it's really cool to see them progress.
You know? There's a show, well, I guess this would probably be airing after that, but I'm excited about it, but it's B. Dolan with Blank Generation and Matthias and the Pirates.
Yeah. And, the Farfetch Collective. We before it even became Farfetch, we were cool with Damon.
Yeah,
and we were in South.
We actually played the very first Farfetch party.
Yeah, we did. And so
the first the first Brave New World.
Yeah, yeah. The prologue, right?
No, Brave New World.
Which led to it. And when I was kind of under Josh Loyal at 2720, starting to book Hip Hop Before Cherokee. Kind of really took off and whatnot. Scripts and Screws, which half of it is Damon, who helped start Farfetch. We've always had relationships with them, so we're supporters for sure.
Definitely. Well, cool, guys. I guess we'll look to close this thing out. I can put some of the tracks like we talked about on here. We want to go. We didn't even really talk about the single, but that's out there yet.
What do you like?
What do you like?
We want to know.
Yeah. do we want to put that on there? I guess that's the lead single, right?
Yeah.
What do you like? And we talked about 96 to 99 a lot. So yeah. Maybe that one.
Yeah. Like I said, that's one I really connected with. I'm excited to hear the rest of it.
Just bury it at the end. Make sure they got to listen to the whole thing.
Yeah.
In order to hear that.
Right.
To get to the goal, you have to dig.
Yeah.
It might make you feel something.
Yeah.
Be aware.
And you can follow these guys on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram.
Twitter and Instagram is just Illphonics. Illphonics.
And then, April 1st. The record release party over at KDHX, the stage, and then also you guys have another big one I forgot to mention earlier with April 24th. You guys will be out at Forest Park.
Yeah, with the
Earth Day.
With a lot of great bands. What's my folks? I love them to death.
Cable Swords.
Yeah, thank you.
Bruiser Queen.
All of them. And shout out to Cable Swords. They've been big supporters for us over the years. We really love them. They're really great.
Yeah.
Farfetch Collective again.
Swords and Bruiser Queen are two bands that have been, you know, laying down some amazing music for a good while now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, but both also been on the show too. So
nice.
If you haven't heard those, go check them out, man. They were good. I had a lot of fun hanging with them. So, well, all right, guys. Well, closing this thing out, 2016. What's the biggest goal we want to get to with the new record now and everything, hitting the road more or?
Well, that's definitely in the agenda.
Yeah, we're gonna get over here and
play.
Yeah,
but it seems like we have an album that has the potential to get to new audiences, and that's what's exciting. We haven't even released it, and it's already starting to get some solid buzz.
Yeah, you know, so yeah, the blogs with the single have been a lot of things going, mm-hmm. a lot of things been circling yeah. around and stuff. I've been,
yeah,
it's exciting stuff.
Mm. Just to keep changing people's perspectives on what music is, what a band can be.
Sure.
Things like that.
That's all right. I do want to compliment you guys for that. With this, what I've heard so far, you know, it's not just a hip-hop thing. You know, you guys, there's so many genre blending and things going on. There's a lot of different sounds going on. It's not, you know, you guys aren't boxed into one particular thing. You know, there's a lot of different things going on the record. So,
and that's what makes it gone with the trends, because, you know, a lot of groups or a lot of acts, you hear their music and the CD sounds consistently the same. And I know it's easy to market, but like we said before, when you sit and listen to an album, it's supposed to be an experience. Mm-hmm. I'm supposed to be able to sit there from song to song, go up and down, feel the emotions of it. And I think that's something we wanted to capture, and I think we did with this album.
Yeah. So. I'm excited to hear the rest of it. Like I said, I only got a little taste of it, and now I'm wanting some more. So
nice.
But yeah, so keep an eye out. April 1st, you can get this. This will be available everywhere.
Yes.
So pre-order now. Bandcamp, iTunes, wherever, Amazon, whatever yeah. your choice.
If you can spell Illphonics in one word, yeah. then you are gonna find us.
Yeah.
And Gone with the Trends.
Yeah. Very cool, guys. All right. Thanks so much.
You're welcome.
Right on. Thank you, Big Shane.
Big Shane. Rock Paper Podcast. Signing out.
Hip hop. Man, just where do I start? At 11 years of age, you infiltrated my heart. Nas and Fire ruled the world, came on BET. I knew my career path, I had to be an MC. That was in 96, and I was barely a teen. When Tupac was shot in Vegas, forever changing the scene. Remembering where I was, I found it hard to believe. Machiavelli was really gone, I found it hard to conceive. In the middle of the map, we listened to all kinds. Bone Thugs, Dog Pound, Common, Busta Rhymes. Families from the South, our subwoofers were heave. With Outkast, UGK, Ball, and MJG. No Limit Cash Money, we love the 666 Stubs. Memphis 10, Burnt Crunk, and it was starting to buzz. 96 to 99, I still remember the days I fell in love with hip-hop in the last golden age. Hey. Rap City became the source, MTV Raps ran its course. Daily Staples with it, miss before your DVR. Stuff paper and old tapes, that's the way to record. On my raggedy VCR, I'd hoard money for lunch. To go and buy the CDs, I really wanted that much. Friend gave me Warren G, that's my first CD. My mama was screenplayed, regulate on repeat. My cousin had every album separated by coast. Made me study MCs, which stimulated my growth. Rough Riders, Wu-Tang, Razzcast, Do or Die. Jay-Z had arrived. Truly a special era. Music helped me survive. Through the pressure of middle school, hip-hop kept me in line. In a home with no siblings, hip-hop music was mine. Just follow me back in time, 96 through 99. Hey. Your favorite songs bump aloud from the dope boy cars. They driving up to the park to show them off through the court. Penny candy, team sports, passing letters along. In the class under the desk, Savage Days gone.
Play it outside till we came on home. Back in the day. baby.
Hey.
What's up?
Nothing.
What do you want to do tonight?
I don't know. What do you like?
Rock People Podcast. Rock People Podcast. Rock, 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 rock,